Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is author of the book, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com, success you can count on. 323-969-0088. Well, welcome back here to Circle Change. So, Mark, how do you like that new jazzy commercial we did for you?
Oh, I thought that was fantastic. Thank you.
Set you up well. We even got the new book, the new mention of your work, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. Let me briefly introduce Mark. He's the president and founder of Impact, a global consulting firm providing coaching, consulting with an emphasis on corporate and personal accountability. He's also author of the acclaimed Creating the Accountable Organization, co-author of The Power of Personal Accountability, Achieve What Matters to You. And we've been trading it up. Now this will be our second show about his new book, Making Yourself Indispensable. And today I know, Mark, you wanted to take us down an interesting path, and that is this idea of letting go so you can step into your power, which might be antithetical to some people, isn't it?
Yes, and it's so key. The last show that we did, I talked about the different choices of being indispensable, and two of them in particular are having a clear purpose that's, you know, bigger than yourself, that you're providing value to others around. And then the second is playing big. And you need to play big to achieve your purpose, but one of the things that gets in the way of us playing big is that we don't let go of our past, and we don't let go of our judgments, and we don't let go of our disappointments, and that holds us back and causes us to play small.
Well, I think the other side, you know, when we clarify, we'll start for that second point. This idea of play big doesn't mean to the extent of ego other over others, though, right? This is about your cause.
That's right. In fact, when you try and, you know, be big by playing up your ego and shouting louder than someone else or using your authority to put someone else down or any of that kind of stuff, you're actually playing small. That's actually a small way to play, disguised as playing big. True bigness comes when you're providing value to others, when you're supporting others, when you're allowing others to contribute, when you're inclusive of others. I mean, that's playing big.
And, you know, I'm sure listeners are saying, this is an interesting thought, that authoritarian boss or that dominating team leader or that overbearing family member. The challenge we have, though, from a personal standpoint, to not just cope with that kind of situation, but how can we reflect a better way so that others will emulate it as well?
Yeah, and that's really finding our own integrity, mm-hmm. and making your own integrity and honoring yourself in that. And when I'm talking about honoring yourself, the big self, the true self, the authentic self, not the whiny self, not the self that's trying to be comfortable, not the self that, you know, is again thinking small, but honoring that bigness that says, yes, we can make a difference, we can contribute, we can offer new ideas, we can solve problems, we can be the go-to person, we can be uncomfortable with change and still make the change. That's the big part of us. That's the authentic part of us that we want to play big too.
You know, I encounter so many times people that are into the play big. In other words, play right to what's at my heart or the clear purpose or passion that they have. But they'll hold themselves back and say, well, I'm going to do that when I retire, or I'm going to do that after I do this. So I believe, Mark, a lot of what you're laying in front of us is that know how you can do these things simultaneously, right, and still make a shift but keep yourself anchored through the course of it.
Yes, and again, that's part of what the letting go process is, mm-hmm. because unfortunately, as we get older, we gain more and more history and more experiences. And unfortunately, as human beings, we'll tend to look at our disappointments, our mistakes, much louder than we look at our wins and our successes. And so what happens over time then is we build up a case of evidence that proves we are smaller than we are based on our mistakes and disappointments and frustrations, adding those all up and saying, wow, I guess I'll never be that big. Gee, I guess I can't be more successful. Gee, I guess, you know, two steps forward, one step backward, because we're always looking at that. And then that goes into our future because we make it so. We live up to that expectation.
Or it becomes the measuring stick against which we measure things. So even if we outshoot something, we're still back, oh, yeah, but I still missed 10 on that spelling test.
Yeah, exactly. And then we define ourselves by that. And so even if we set goals and even if we set, you know, big intentions and even if we have a good, clear purpose, unfortunately, our history starts to get in the way because we look for evidence of when it's not going to work. And the truth is, anyone who has a big purpose and is going for their dreams is going to have setbacks, and that doesn't mean anything. That's just called normal. But when we have a history of it, then it becomes proof that, gee, I'll never really make it. And that's what holds us back, and that's what we have to let go of. We have to let go of those old experiences and old judgments and old histories. No matter how many times it happened in the past, we have to kind of let it go and start fresh, start from scratch right now, and focus on what we want rather than what's happened in the past.
So that process of letting go, Mark, of course,
yes,
that doesn't mean forgetting or blocking out or trying to subvert. It's about, in some ways, right, reframing it and saying that these are learnings to which we're building new muscle.
Yes, and it's really, it comes in two different levels at least, if not three. One is we have to replace the old history with a focus on the new desired outcome that we want, or the purpose that we want, or the new image that we want. So what that takes is a real diligence and vigilance, if you will, on reminding yourself of what's the picture you want, what is it you're going for. And not about what are you giving up, but more about what are you going for and what is that new ideal, whether it's, again, a fit body, or whether it's a successful job, or whether it's getting a promotion, whatever that is that you, what are those behaviors, what are those actions, and living in that in your mind at least.
Well,
that
and
you can control,
you bet,
even before your behaviors.
And in fact, that, as we say it often here on the show, it says many people make a shift based on an exit strategy as opposed to an entrance strategy. And that's where you really make traction, right, is you're thinking about opening up a door, not closing one behind you.
Yeah, and that's very a very articulate way of saying what I was taking a long time to say. I
mean, no, we got
that
it.
That really
together.
Pinpoints it well. But here's where the dilemma comes, because you can do that. And unfortunately, and we've talked about this on occasion, but our body has cell memory.
Yeah.
So our cell memory has habits in it that are back in our history, because that's all it can be. So we have to then be very vigilant again at when we see our habit move towards something that's not on purpose, stopping it right away and readjusting, getting back to our purpose, and then dictating what habit are we going to replace it, the old habit, with that's not working, that will work towards our purpose.
Now, Mark, though, this presupposes we can even realize the fact that we're manifesting a habit, right? I mean,
well,
we have to know to see it first.
That's right. And see, we're not going to notice it generally until after the fact, when we get a negative response.
Yeah.
But then when we get that negative response, most people go, oh, see, this is my history showing up again, rather than, oh, this is a negative response, learning opportunity, now what would I do differently to shift it, and let me catch it a little sooner the next time. And that's how we turn things towards the positive and start changing those habits. But it's, you know, you might have to do that 20 times before it settles.
In fact, you probably would. Isn't 20 or 21 the magic number, in fact, before we can say we've rewired ourselves for a new habit?
Yeah, and some people say it's 20, some people say it's 30. I just say do it forever.
Whatever. Yeah, that's right.
It does it.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's almost like treat each one individually. And what happens is you'll start to catch it sooner. So instead of catching it after the fact, you'll catch it during the fact. And then instead of catching it during the fact, you'll catch it right before you do it. And then at some point, all of a sudden you realize, gee, I don't do that anymore. So but it's a process.
It is a process. Let's take it to a real practical example, Mark, something you've worked with a client on. I mean, I can think of myself something, you know, something as annoying of having to file an expense report after every business trip. Ugh, what an annoying thing to do. But but yeah, if you want to get reimbursed, you got to go do it. So trying to frame that up in a way that this isn't just about getting the money done, but you got a game involved and doing it multiple times so that, you know, now you set up a process, you get support from others, whether it be someone else who's watching your checkbook or your assistant that might be there to help you or some reminder in your system to clear that out of the way, right? That's part of regrafting something. An example, you've helped a client or individuals on a team grab a hold of to demonstrate what you're talking about to us.
Well, let's start with the one you just mentioned, because there's even one more opportunity in what you just said, and that is, do I look at completing my, you know, financial report at the end, which is kind of a mundane task relative to everything, does that fit into A, my purpose, and B, playing big, where, gee, it's another indicator that I'm on top of things, that I do things proactively, that I'm well organized, that I handle my responsibilities, and let it feed that big you, even though it might be perceived on one side of it as a small, mundane task. Well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's that made one more contributor to how I can feel when I'm playing big and being on purpose and demonstrating and modeling excellence, because I'm handling it with grace, ease, no attitude, and proactively.
Mm-hmm. All right.
It's like, it all starts right there. You know,
sure,
it's like,
yeah.
How is that a bigger purpose for myself? Because at the end of the day, I want to approach that attitude not just for the financial worksheets, but for how I choose to eat during the day and how I choose to communicate with others during the day. And so you can see that it begins to build then the new you based on playing big and your purpose.
Well, I think the other thing you're telling us is to be mindful that even some of the simplest things or the smallest things you might think you're doing can really contribute to the performance of you as a total system. And that
absolutely.
And that would be the same for an organization then. So you might be sitting there on a team thinking, you know, my only job is to keep the bill of materials straightened out. And that certainly isn't as big a deal as, you know, the senior program manager who swing the big budget decisions. But at the end of the day, we all know in an organization, it takes all those different pieces to work in harmony.
That's right. No matter what role we play, are we playing big? You know, Martin Luther King talked about it in terms of what he said, and I don't have the exact words, but that janitor who's in, who's in quote-unquote the smallest position, but approaches it as if he's of service and he's going to do the best janitorial work that anybody can have, he's playing big, and he's of purpose.
And a part of that comes from he's playing big in his own approach to his own life. He's choosing to make that decision. Mark, we commented this segment, letting go to step into your power. That
yes.
word, that word power gets people sometimes uncomfortable. Help us with that.
Yeah, it's just, to me, you know, it's like an engine has power. You know, you can't run, your car won't run if you don't have an engine that's providing power to the car. And to me, power is, again, not about playing big in an ego sense, and it's an ego sense of power, but it is, you have to have a certain level of inner power to get yourself up in the morning, to drive yourself to achieve goals, and it's your inner power and really looking at your own fortitude and strength inside of yourself that we're talking about when I say you got to let go of the past so that you're, you know, so that you can truly be in your authentic power, in your authentic self's power.
Yes. So tie that back. You know, I mentioned, of course, that your new book just came out, Making Yourself Indispensable. How is this letting go to step into your power then? How does that translate into your being able to offer more value to others such that in the end of the day, they ain't going to let you go? You are indispensable to them.
Well, again, I can say it for myself that there's times when I get shy, I get inhibited, I'm afraid of what people are going to say, and those are all based on previous experiences, starting when I was a kid, when I said something in class and got embarrassed by the teacher about it, or laughed at by the kids, or, you know, I did something where I stood out in a meeting and got, you know, slammed for it by my boss, or, you know, and you can see this all over the place, you know, in terms of your history. But see, if that overtakes you, if your history overtakes you and you haven't let that go to step into your, again, authentic self and authentic purpose and playing big, then what happens is you won't be of value to others because you're not taking the risk to be of value. Like, even on a plane, there's some times when I'm just, you know, not in my power and I'm not in playing big, and I see someone somewhat struggling with their luggage and I don't offer to help. I don't just step up proactively and say, hey, let me give you a hand. Where there's other times where I'm in my strength, mm-hmm. and I'm not worried about the past or the disappointing session I just had or whatever, and I'm right there offering my support. So how do you be of value to others if you're constantly worried about yourself and you're self-centered and you're self, you know, absorbed based on, again, a disappointment, hurt feelings, having an off day? So, like, can you rise above all those emotional reactions and let those go so that you can be of service to someone right here, right now, in your strength, even though you don't feel strong?
Yeah, right on. You know, something we said earlier in the segment, though, I'm sure we've got listeners saying, well, yeah, that's all fine and good for me to do, but I still work for a guy who's frankly really a jerk. And, you know, and he's overbearing, authoritarian, and how can I help him realize he's not playing to his inner power?
Yeah, and it's not your job to help him
there
to do
go.
That. It's your job to model being in your power and doing the best you can in the environment you're in. And it's not like you can just go off and half-cocked and try and change the world or, you know, make your world comfortable for you so that you can be in your power. You've got to do what you can, given your circumstances, and do it for yourself, not for your organization, not for your boss. Be of service, because that's your integrity, that's honoring who you are, and that's playing big inside yourself.
Well put. I think the other piece of it, Mark, is many times when we aren't playing big, like you've said, it's bringing out something that's in our past, and even many times when we are in a relationship with someone that it becomes difficult, that how often I find myself trying to step back and say, now why am I saying these things? Where is this coming from? And it turns out it isn't about that person whatsoever, but he might remind me of someone from years ago that I right away was thinking, oh my gosh, here comes Harry again at me with the XYZ dynamic.
That's absolutely right. You know, and then when we play small, there is a bit of regret that shows up. Mm-hmm. Gee, I wish I would have helped that person out. Gee, I wish I would have said something in the meeting. Gee, I wish I would have, you know, been more proactive on this project rather than putting it off thinking that, you know, it's too hard for me to do. And then in that regret, we make a judgment that feeds the history that we've already had. And so that's how it cycles on ourselves.
And
that's where we have to let go. We have to forgive.
Right,
if we do fall back into an old pattern, forgive it immediately, let it go, and then get back to what your purpose and vision is rather than reinforcing, gee, maybe I will never be strong enough, or gee, maybe I will never get this. Those words can harm us forever because it builds that negative cycle and attachment to the past.
And like you said, setbacks are normal. And it is absolutely, as you would have said earlier, the human condition.
That's right.
That's right. Well, Mark, and so congratulations on your book. What kind of response are you getting so far from Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability?
Oh, it's been excellent. I think people are really seeing that this is bringing accountability to a new level, because now it's about something that is meaningful, not just getting work done.
Mm-hmm. And then also applying it beyond work to, as you say, this deeper inner journey at the same time.
Well, and to our families as well.
You bet. That's exactly right. Well, interested listeners, it's marksamuel.com or also impaqcorp.com. Again, the book, Making Yourself Indispensable. Mark, have a great additional or continuing sunny day in Los Angeles. We'll catch you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Sarah.
You bet. Take care. Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.